We actually looked at another aspect of creation in terms of the days, the 6 days in Genesis chapter 1. We looked at to see what was done on each of those different days. Today, Brother Steve is going to be talking, as you can see, on the subject of origins of the human race, and looking at other chapters in the book of Genesis in relation to these different things.
Okay, so we're going to get started on this topic here, as you can see. And we will take a look, first of all, in Genesis chapter 1. We did not get a chance to speak in great detail about this part of God's creation. So let's begin with...
I'll stand on this side, huh? Okay. Peter would like me to stand by the microphone. Well, let's begin with these verses in Genesis 1. And then these verses in Genesis 2.
Now let me just say
also at the outset that it's clear because of our limitations of time and focus on this particular subject, we are jumping past some verses that also are very important and of great interest. Unfortunately, we're going to just limit ourselves to these two particular topics, origin of the human race and the lessons that we need to learn from that. And then also origins of marriage and family. I'd like to ask if a brother would read Genesis 1, verses 26 to 31. And then a second person read Genesis 2, 7 to 9. And then a third brother read Genesis 2, 15 to 20. So if we could just successively have three readers without me asking someone to read in between each time, we'll just wait and somebody could begin with Genesis 1, verse 26.
Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. God blessed them. God said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it. And rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Then God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, verse 7, chapter 2. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
In verse 15, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam, to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowls of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him."
Very good. Thank you very much for that reading to all three of you. And I'll just sort of try to set the table for what it is that we would like to discuss this afternoon a little bit more outline for you to consider that you can have in your mind as we look at these verses. We could clearly pick up many, many very important themes from these verses. But what we want to emphasize is that God made man. God made mankind. He made Adam. And as we're going to also touch on, we did not read the verses about creating Eve. we will be discussing that as well as part of this afternoon. But just for the beginning right now, we want to see the lessons about the fact that God is the one who is the author, the originator of human life. And there are three sort of main headings that I would like to suggest that we look at these verses under. One is, and we'll start with, the fact that there is human life itself. The fact that God initiated human life. We'll come back to that. The second point will be the fact that God made mankind in his image and in his likeness. We want to discuss what that means and why that is important to understand and what we can understand as a result of that, how that affects our beliefs about the Bible, our beliefs from the Bible, and our Christian walk with the Lord, too. And then thirdly, the relationship between man and nature. We want to discuss that a little bit as well as we look at these passages that we've just read, the relationship between man and nature. So what we'd like to look at first as we go through this part of the discussion, the study, is the concept, the basic statement about human life. And I would like to direct your attention to chapter 2, verse 7 in particular. Although it's not the first verse that we read, I'd like to use this as sort of a jumping off place for this concept of human life. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being, or other translations say a living soul. So here's a question. What does it mean that God is the author of human life? In other words, what should we understand about that, about ourselves, about the human race, from that fact? God is the author of human life. This verse has reference to the special work that God did to bring life, to produce life in this man that he formed. And we also have the verses in the end of chapter 1 and so on. So I'd like to hear us discuss this a little bit. The fact is that God created man. But what do we see in these verses that are important for us to understand our relationship with God? What do we see about how God created man in comparison to the rest of his creation? And what do we see about God's intention about creating man? So first of all, what does it mean that God is the author of human life? Could we have a few thoughts on this question, especially from these passages? Go ahead. Yeah.
One thing I don't know, I see, just in the verse that you read, verse 7, you have the phrase, the breath of life concerning the creation of man. And you don't see that with the other creatures.
Very good. That's an excellent observation. And I was hoping that that would come out as part of our discussion. Let's spend a little time there. It says that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. With the animals, for example, we don't find that expression at all. So what's the importance of that? What's that going to mean to us?
We have an eternal soul.
And there's a soul. Very good. Absolutely. The breath of life, man became a living being, a living soul. So what does that mean?
Well, like the beast when they're gone, they're gone. I can't remember the psalm.
A little louder, maybe.
In the Psalms, we read too, like, man, there was an understanding. It's like a brute beast that perish. You mean, well, once it's dead, it's gone. It does not have the Spirit of God, which is the eternal life within it. And that's the difference. It's like an animal, once its life is over, it's over.
Yeah.
But for us, we go on, whether to glory or to hell. That life in hell is still eternal. A very eternal damnation. So that's the difference here.
Because it's special. We're made in God's image, and we're very special. We've been given dominion over it. He's exalted us just above his creation to look after it, to subdue it, to till the ground. He's given us a wonderful place.
What else can we say about that from these verses or possibly some others? You've mentioned some expressions in the Psalms. Are there some other verses, too, that we can add in here?